We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Welcome to Talking Halo. This is Derek C. Apollo with a guest today, Jeremiah Geiger from the Marlins 9 podcast. We're here to preview the Marlins and Angels for this weekend's, well, I don't know if you want to call it a showdown with the Marlins struggling and the Angels iffy, but it's something. It's baseball. First things first, before we get to Jeremiah, here's a word from our sponsors at the Blue Wire Network.
We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Jeremiah, welcome to the show. Your Marlins having some issues. I'm trying to understand this franchise. I have been for about 20 years now. Maybe you can shed some light on it. I've never seen a team that held two World Series championships, two fire sales. From faraway lands, it looks like it's a franchise that has lacked direction for a long time, but yet there's lots of young pitching there. There are some prospects that are interesting. What is your overall view of the Marlins right now?
Yeah, man. Well, first off, thanks for having me on the podcast. It's an honor to be on and talk some baseball with you. But the overall direction right now as a fan base, I think, is impatience. And you look at the last few years when Jeffrey Loria sold the Marlins and Bruce Sherman took over a new ownership group and eventually hiring a new general manager in Kim Ng. We knew there was going to be a rebuild in place. We knew the Marlins were going to have to endure some losing seasons, but With the core they built up, especially the starting pitching, there's a lot of optimism around this team. However, the offense and the hitting is just so far behind the starting pitching and the talent that they have there that you see a lot of the struggles come from that side of the game. And right now the Marlins are hovering around 500, but this West Coast trip has not been kind to the fish at all. They dropped 2 out of 3 in San Francisco, and losing 3 of 4 to the Rockies, who aren't a good baseball team. If you want to compete, you have to beat that type of team. And so it's frustrating right now.
And just to add some context to what you're saying, right now, the Marlins have the worst run support in the National League, 181 runs. They are third worst in Major League Baseball behind Cleveland and Detroit entering today, which is May 25th. Yet, given the lack of run support, they're a minus 49. There's a lot worse you could be. That just tells you really how bad the offense has been. And my gosh, what if you just average a run more per game? That's it, just a run more per game. Where is this team at?
Well, I think you have to add at least 5, 6, even 7 wins to the total. This team would be sitting above 500 because you look at the starting pitching and you have Sandy Alcantara, who a Cy Young pitcher last year. He's struggled a little bit deep into ball games, but he has the worst run support of any single major league pitcher this season. And it's been a problem for the last 2-3 years. You know, with last year, the Marlins acquired Avisail Garcia and Jorge Soler in free agency, and really were expecting to see power production from both of those. Well, Avisail Garcia has been downright awful wearing a Marlins uniform. Jorge Soler has been terrific this season. But other than that, when the injuries start piling up, and the big one was Jazz Chisholm, who's currently out for about a month more with turf toe, you're starting to plug and play players in who aren't necessarily major league quality hitters. And that's where the Marlins get in danger, because you can start to see a losing streak if you don't get it back on track. And right now the Marlins are in that kind of that balance of, where does our season go? We're at 500. We have the pitching to compete, but we need guys to step up at the plate.
Do you see that happening? I'm looking at the stats right now. Luis Urias has at 371 average, and then Brian De La Cruz at almost 80 points lower than him. That's your next guy average-wise. Home runs, Soler's 14 home runs, 30 RBIs, and pretty much there's nobody else in the lineup that even comes close to him in production. Is there anything in the farm system that could be called up, and what called up, that could make a difference perhaps? Or is there a trade out there that has been talked about that maybe help improve production for the Marlins?
So what we're looking at right now, in my opinion, is in the next 3 weeks or so, if the Marlins are still around 500, I would expect them to go out and make a move and try to get some production offensively, whether that is shortstop or the catching position. Catcher has been an absolute travesty. Jacob Stallings, to this date, has been the worst offensive catcher in my experience watching the Marlins that I've seen. They're just getting nothing from that position. And the fans are wanting to compete. Ownership has come out and stated that they are ready to win. Well, you got to put your money where your mouth is. So, yeah, I am expecting to see a trade happen in the next 3 to 4 weeks if they can continue just staying afloat. I definitely expect that.
Well, the Marlins have a reputation. I mean, I don't mean to offend, but they have a reputation for being, well, cheap.
They do.
Across the country.
They do.
And pathetically cheap. To, you know, there was a time that, you know, my dad lived down there, and I refused to go see a Marlins game down there in that new stadium because I felt like they had ripped off the fans. They all they did was just hoard their money. I remember the reports coming out on that years ago alongside the Pirates of just how much money they were hoarding. And, you know, after a while, your reputation, it No, reality or not, it sticks with you. Perception is reality. So have you seen anything from ownership that is giving you a sign that they're serious, that they're actually going to go out there and spend money? Or is this another case of them just blowing steam?
Well, we saw that last year. I think last year was where Kim Ng really dipped into the pockets of the ownership and spent some money getting Jorge Soler and Avisail Garcia. That was the two moves, really, that Marlins fans were excited about and thought that that would improve the offense considerably. And as I mentioned before, Garcia is on the injured list. He's been on the injured list for 2 weeks or so now and has done nothing and has just been terrible. Jorge Soler is playing himself into what could be an all-star appearance. So they hit on Soler, at least this season. And with the trade for Luis Arraez, I think definitely give credit to the front office on that one. Arraez has been one of the best hitters in all of baseball, best pure hitters in the majors when they traded Pablo Lopez to get Arraez. But you need more. And I said this earlier, even after the Arraez trade, it wasn't enough. Looking at the current roster, it wasn't enough. And you've seen that because this season, with the amount of young, controllable star pitching they have, they're a game under 500. You have to improve the offense. And at this point, like you said, your reputation precedes you. If the Marlins don't make a deal and they're even remotely close to contention around the trade deadline, I would be very, very disappointed, extremely disappointed in this team.
Now, looking at what you have in terms of assets, what are some assets you expect could be moved to get that hitter you're looking for?
So the first thing you have to look at is the pitching. And the Marlins have a wealth of starting pitching. And that's what allowed them to dip into their system and give up a solid number two starter like Pablo Lopez or Luis Arraez. But they still have more. You have young guys like Edward Cabrera, who is a mainstay in the rotation this season. Got about 13 or so starts, I believe, last season, and showed flashes of greatness, power changeup, extremely, velocities there. But he struggles with command, and he's very inconsistent so far this season. But he's got all the talent in the world. And you go into the minor league system. Jake Eder is a guy, a big left-hander out of Vanderbilt, coming off Tommy John surgery. He's another name to look for. Power stuff. Dax Fulton, he was a third-round pick a couple years back. Really developing well in the minor league system, which the Marlins are very good at, is developing pitchers. They're not good at developing hitters, however. So that's the problem.
So, looking now ahead of the series, the Angels have won five of their last six. They're having a nice homestand here. They just swept the Red Sox. And the pitching matchup, to me, is interesting right away because you're talking about young pitching. Well, Jesus Luzardo versus Reed Detmers. Reed Detmers was our number one draft pick a couple years ago. The guy who just struck out 12 his last start, but has been inconsistent. Reminds me a little bit of Mr. Cabrera, who's also pitching in this series. How do you see this matchup on tomorrow night looking in terms of Luzardo versus Detmers?
Well, I'm excited for it. I'm excited for it because Luzardo is having a breakout season for the Marlins. Coming over from Oakland, he struggled immediately. A lot of fans were kind of up in arms when that trade happened, the Starling Marte trade. But Luzardo has been the most consistent pitcher for the organization this season. And I'm expecting a good pitching matchup. Like you said, Reed Detmers, really impressive kid. Luzardo's going to come at you with a hard fastball, really good breaking ball. And it's going to be tough for both offenses, I think, going into tomorrow, for sure.
And then Saturday's matchup, you got Edward Cabrera versus Shohei Ohtani. Now, I'm sure you're at least a little happy to see Ohtani, How do you see this matchup shaking out?
Well, I think you got to give the edge to the Angels without a doubt. I think you would be crazy to say otherwise. Shohei is one of my favorite players in all of baseball. I mean, the guy can do it all. I'm just excited to watch him more than anything. Do the Marlins, I mean, it really comes down to their hitting. Again, I mentioned Edward Cabrera. He's very inconsistent. If the Marlins don't manage a way to plate runs against Ohtani, I don't see this matchup going very well. I think the Angels have the favor by far. Look for Cabrera to work on his command. If he starts to struggle early in his command and walk hitters, he won't go deep into ball games. But definitely Angels have the edge on that one.
And then last matchup here, Sunday afternoon. And I got to tell you, I'm excited to see a lot of these pitchers that Florida's bringing, Miami's bringing over. I got, you know, several of them are on my fantasy baseball team, I admit. Yuri Perez, I went and got him immediately, and he's matched up with Patrick Sandoval. Another good young pitching matchup. Something tells me we're not going to see a whole lot of runs scored this weekend. Tell us about Yuri Perez, though.
Yeah, Yuri Perez has been one of the most hyped and anticipated prospects since in the Marlins system since Jose Fernandez. You know, signing out of the Dominican Republic, he's only 20 years old, making his major league debut this season, and he completely skipped AAA. The organization felt he was ready to come up from AA. Has not broke 90 pitches in a matchup, so they're going to take care of him. They're not going to overwork him. But man, let me tell you, he has all the talent in the world. I really look at him as a generational type talent. He's very close with Sandy Alcantara. And if you look at them side by side, their mechanics are very similar. He struggled a little bit in his most recent start versus the Rockies. But after the game, there was, you know, he was saying the altitude really affected him, being able to breathe at that high level, that high altitude. So I look for him to go at least 4 or 5 innings. I don't see more than 6. The Marlins are going to take care of him. But when he is on, he is on.
Hey, you know, moment you said Colorado, I'm like, yeah. I mean, nobody looks at that start in Colorado and it takes anything seriously there. I mean, no way.
No.
You know, and it's unfortunate that it's how it has to be. But when you're literally a mile above sea level, nothing works the way you want to work, humidor or not. So I didn't take anything from that game then and be like, oh yeah, this guy's garbage. No, you don't think that at all. You think, okay, it's Colorado. That's just how it's gonna be. It's Colorado. So when you look at the series overall, 3 games set, how's this shake out for you? How many games do the Marlins take? How many do the Angels take?
So right now I think it would be foolish to say anything other than the Angels have the advantage. The Angels are on a roll. Like you said, they just swept the Red Sox. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I think they're 5 games over 500, 28-23. And Miami is struggling. Apart from the 1 game in Colorado where they broke out for 10 runs, and of course it's at Coors, I expect with the pitching matchups, though, I'm really looking forward to Eury Pérez and how he comes back from his Colorado start. I think the Angels take the first 2, and I think Miami takes the last game on Sunday. I think Eury Pérez pitches a really good game, and the Marlins get the final win, but Angels win the series.
My guess also, just I'm just checking, because they've been sitting Trout once every 8 or 9 games. And I'm willing to bet, given that Sunday game, that they sit Trout on Sunday.
Okay.
That would
be helpful.
I'm checking the schedules. If they're hitting the road. Yeah, they're going to Chicago for Monday. So I would not be surprised, even with the off day today as we're recording this, I would not be surprised if Trouty took Sunday off. So that's a thought. Don't be surprised. I think he'll definitely have a day off this weekend for sure. So, you know, okay. I do have a question. I mean, thanks for talking to us about the Marlins and where they're at, but Alcantara, What is going on with him? He's not the same guy this year, but I'm not convinced it's anything more than a glitch. What's going on with him?
So Sandy wants to win more than anybody. He's got that competitive fire, and he wants to finish every game he starts. And sometimes that gets him into trouble. We got a new manager this season, first-year manager Skip Schumacher. And if you look at the advanced stats, Sandy's actually pitched very similar, if not better, than his start of last season. The ERA is bloated, and that is because it seems that when it comes into the late innings, there was a game against Chicago a couple weeks back.
I remember
it. Where he's pitching a shutout, and he's over 100 pitches, and Skip, the manager, leaves him in for the next three hitters after it's clear that he's running out of gas. And the Marlins end up winning that game in extra innings, but it's just one of those things where he hasn't closed the deal like last year. Last year, you know, he's at 105 pitches in the eighth inning. He gets out of that. He gets out of those jams. This year, he's gotten a little bit unlucky, I would say, on one or two pitches, leaving one over the plate, and then that's where the damage comes from. So the consensus around the fan base right now is we're waiting. We're waiting to see him get back to his consistent Cy Young self like last year. It was progress to see him go six innings, only two runs in Colorado, which is a notorious hitter's park. And we just got to hope that he can continue that success onward.
I remember that game, the eighth inning game. I remember because I'm pretty Marlins pitching heavy on my fantasy baseball team. I'm not gonna lie to you.
I like to hear it.
Yeah, I mean, when you see good pitching, and Alcantara is on a lot of my teams, and I'm sitting there just watching the game and going, they're not keeping him in now. They're not keeping him. They kept him in, and you saw it right away, and it blew my mind that. Because a lot of times when you see a pitcher going eight and they head in the ninth inning and you're like, okay, we'll give him a hitter. We'll see how he does with that first hitter. All right. Now you see the result.
Right.
And you're still keeping him in. No, get him out of there. Get him, and they kept him in. And that's not on him. That's on your managing. That is you gotta know where your players are and get them out of there, whether they're happy about it or not. You know, I put that on managing, and I oftentimes, you know, I get mad at managers that won't let starters work through issues. But sometimes you also got to realize where they're at and take them out. And that happened that day. That ticked me off, mostly because of my numbers. Man, that mess, I was messed up my ERA for a couple teams. But that's how you wreck a player too. You know, that's how you fray that manager player relationship. By making a dumb decision like that.
Well, it also messes with their psyche, you know, because you put Sandy out there for the ninth and he's going to go out there. He wants to be out there, but let him end on a good note. The last thing I'll say about that particular game was after I think it was a walk and a single, Cody Bellinger comes up, a lefty. You have AJ Puck, your left-handed closer, who had been absolutely dominant to that point. It was so obvious that you had to make the lefty-on-lefty matchup, and that's on the manager, like you said. But, you know, Skip's learning, and I think he's trying to establish, and he has established, a winning culture. It's just about, at this point, finding the talent to get in that groove and make a run.
Well, hey, can you let people know where they can find your work? You mentioned earlier you have a young podcast, a little over a year old now, and you definitely know your stuff. So even though we're all the way out in California, especially if you're a fantasy baseball guy who likes pitching, I'm sure they want to hear your thoughts on your pitching. At the very least, tell people where they can find you.
Yeah, so the podcast is Marlins 9, the Roman numeral 9 IX. You can find my podcast on Apple, Spotify, Google Podcasts, wherever it's you get your pods from. And you know, I bring on guests. I run a lot of solo pods, and everything is Marlins based. And for all you Angels fans out there, if you're curious about another team and want to learn more about prospects or, you know, the little niche details about the club, feel free to hop on. It's a fun pod to do. And thank you for having me on Talking Halos. It was really enjoyable to talk some baseball.
Thanks so much for coming on our show. Every year now, it's no longer once every 4 years, every 8 years. We played last year,
yeah.
We played this year. So next year, series in Miami, we got to do this again.
Yeah, and I'm all for it, because the more I can see Shohei Ohtani and Mike Trout, the better. Although maybe not for the Marlins.
Shohei might not be here next year. We'll find out. Well, thanks so much, and we'll talk to you soon. All right, folks. There you have. There's our preview of the Marlins Angels series. Thanks again. You know, it's always good getting knowledgeable podcasters come on the show, talking their team, and being able to articulate what's going on. We want to get that full view. So thanks again. Check out his podcast. Go check out this man's podcast. He really puts some serious work into it. That's the Marlins 9 with the Roman numeral Jeremiah guy who runs the show there. And we'll see you soon. We're out of here.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment, and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.